We're here.
I wish I could give this feeling. I wish I could give this feeling.
All right, everybody, welcome to another episode of the Corner Podcast. By now, you know that my name is Kel Dansby.
And it's Andreas Hill, back again.
In case they forgot.
In case, y'all must have forgot. I ain't Roy Jones, though. I ain't getting knocked out every goddamn week.
We'll talk about Roy Jones because he made an appearance this weekend. Kind of surprised everybody. But we'll talk about that today. We'll talk about Kovalev versus Pascal 2. We'll preview UFC Fight Night that's happening this weekend, formerly UFC 196. And we'll also talk about the Royal Rumble and WWE Fast Lane. But first, we got to recap your trip. Oh, I'm getting ahead of myself. By the way, in case you don't know, we are broadcasting from our home, the Las Vegas Fight Shop, in the Planet Hollywood Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas. Thank you, guys. You know, we got to mention that. Keep the home happy. Where were you at?
I was at Sundance Films Festival in Park City, Utah last week, seeing lots of movies. I think I saw like 13 movies in like 4 days.
What was the best movie?
The Birth of a Nation. Nate Parker's Birth of the Nat Turner biopic. First of all, let me say this. To be in the theater, I was at a press and industry screening. Everything else sold out. To be at a press and industry screening with a bunch of 40-year-old white people, watching a black man kill a whole bunch of white people on screen, and there's no white savior in the movie, which is crazy. Well, it's not crazy because that's the story, but it's amazing that Hollywood, you know, this is, you usually have this. This is not The Blind Side. But to see this and watch like white people crying in the theater, because the violence doesn't let up. It's not cookie cutter at all. Like, it's brutal. It's war. To see this was like a beautiful thing because I had a wide smile stretched across my face, and I know other people were like, "What's wrong with this dude?"
Yeah, but, like, yo, this guy's a weirdo. Get him some help.
Ever since I was like 13 years old, I wanted to see a Nat Turner movie made because I was just like, we all have all these slave movies where slaves are die silent weak. I need to see the uprising when dude just kills everybody. And yeah, it's Birth of a Nation is phenomenal, amazing movie.
What, sold for 17 and a half?
Searchlight, Fox Searchlight. So that means it's going to get a theatrical release. Fox Searchlight has bought 3 movies in the past that have been Oscar nominated. So this is a good course for. They turned down Netflix. Parker turned down Netflix. Netflix offered $20 million for the movie.
Wow.
But Parker wanted to go theatrical. Netflix wanted to do theatrical and streaming, which could lessen the impact of being Oscar nominated. So Nate knows what he's doing. This is his first movie, too.
Smart kid, though.
Yeah, man.
I mean, he's a grown-ass man. But
yeah, Nate's
young
Nate's
in the eyes of, you know, definitely movie makers. So yep. Smart dude. So you were supposed to be back earlier, though.
Yeah, man. Yeah. So, okay, let me get the ground. First of all, there were some great movies, like I said. I covered, you know, Michael Jackson's documentary was shown on Showtime this week. I checked out this movie, The Land, that Nas is executive producer on, Erykah Badu was in. That was great.
See the Terrell Suggs movie?
I saw Terrell Suggs everywhere.
He has a production team of some sort.
Terrell Suggs was in every movie I was at, which is like all the black movies. And there was one movie in particular that we were at, and I'm not going to say the name of this film, but at the end of the movie, Suggs gets up and he says, "The fuck was that?" And it was funny because most of us were thinking the same thing. And it was like, I looked and it was Terrell Suggs. And I was like, "Dog, are you following me everywhere?" Because every time he saw me and his crew saw me, they was like, "Black people!" Because there ain't that many black people in Utah to begin with. And at Sundance, it's not that many. So we always gave each other a pound. So, yeah, it was crazy. But anyway, so, yeah, I'm leaving Sundance. And I'm driving back to Vegas. I rented a Ford Fiesta. Don't ask me why. I have an Acura truck, which I could have taken. But it was like $5 a day. So I'm like, I'm going to take a rental car. Why beat up my car going to Utah? And I'm driving through southern Utah, and I get to about Cedar Springs, and I get trapped in, like, a blizzard where you can't see in front of you. My car's fishtailing down the freeway. I watch cars sliding off, flipping over. Yeah, so I got stuck in Cedar City next to your alma mater.
Yeah, Southern Utah University.
Fuck that place. I'll never be at
T-Birds.
The worst.
Yo, it was crazy. I'm telling you, playing football up there in college was an experience in itself. I'm not for snow, yo. Like, I left that in New York for a reason.
We're tropical people.
Yes,
I'm not
built
for
that. We live in Vegas for a reason.
Yo, I had to shovel snow off my car to get out. Like, I got stuck at the Taco Bell drive-thru.
You ain't have no equipment for that either.
I wasn't built for this. Like, when I drove there, it was no problem. You know what I'm saying? The drive was quick. You know, I listened to another podcast called Serial, which is like the How to Make a Murderer podcast. I never listened to it. I listened to damn near the whole thing on the way there. And it was cool. On the way back, that blizzard hit. Couldn't see nothing in front of me. Saw cars flipped over. I thought I was going to die. I was never going to make it back to the corner.
Tropical people.
You're going to have to find a guest host forever because it was going to be a wrap.
We would have filed away. You know, you wouldn't have been all right. Somebody would have rescued you.
I don't know, man. They would have left my black ass in the snow somewhere.
You stick out. I don't know. Like, they'll see you. You don't blend in. They would have found you. Nice to have you back, though. You know, the people missed you. Last week, we actually had a dope episode. It didn't want to cooperate, so it took me like 3 days to even save the file. And then we had like the same thing like that happened to our Puerto Rico episode. It was like a tin can, and it took us forever to like do that. So I guess that's like semi-annual.
Yeah.
That the computer just wants to whack out and mess up an episode.
Or just miss me. That's possible.
I mean, saying, Helen held it down, though. Shout out to Helen Yee. It was a great episode between the two of us. Talked about a lot of stuff. We didn't talk pro wrestling, so we got a full segment on that later.
Oh, man, we got a lot to talk about.
But first, you missed a lot of the craziness, just extracurriculars around hip-hop and the world and the Twitterverse, the internets, as Combat Jack would say.
Right on.
Loudspeakers fam. Yo, you missed the beef. Kanye.
Yeah, dog. I'm at the Barack Obama movie, I think. When did this happen? Like Wednesday?
Obama movie?
Yeah, it's a movie about Michelle and Barack getting together. It was great. It was like not even corny.
A love story?
Yeah. It was like the first
Notebook.
It was the first
for Barack.
Yeah, like they saw Do the Right Thing. It was great. Tika Sumter's in it. It was a great movie. But anyway, I walked out of the theater and I'm like, my timeline's blowing up. And I'm like, I'm reading Kanye's tweets. And I'm like, this can't be real, right? Like
one. Two.
Yo,
three.
He made like bullet points dissing somebody. Yo, here's my thing. Make a diss track. Like, if you're going to diss somebody, put it on wax. It's more thought out. It lasts forever.
Thank you.
Like, don't diss somebody on Twitter and then delete the tweets after that. Stop being emotional.
Squash the beef after like 4 days. This ain't hip hop.
This
can't be life.
Nah, man.
When he produced that, he should have just stashed that track and listened to it now. This can't be life.
Yeah, it's like cut it out. Like, yo, it was so weird to see. Because I'm like, well, what did Wiz do, right? Because I'm catching Kanye's everything. So I go back and look at Wiz, and Wiz is like, nah, don't take waves. That's Max B. And I was like, that's it?
That's it.
Was there anything else? Like, this man is now responsible for your kids? Your kid because of this?
Oh, no, because he put the KK after it. He was like, all right, time for KK. Like, right after it. And Khalifa Kush is what he smokes, I guess.
Right.
Kanye did not know this.
Clearly.
He thought it was like, yo, time for Kim Kardashian. And he was like, yo, you can't come for my woman, blah, blah. Don't
but everybody
ever
else has came for a woman. You know how many penises have been in his woman's face?
Came for wouldn't be the terminology I would use. There's a different, you know,
true
word you put in there. But it is what it is. I understand. But now he's sensitive on the subject. He wanted to start beef. Wiz was too high to even recognize the bullshit. He was just like, look, yo, I got to smoke, man. I ain't got time for this.
Rapper beef does not need to belong on social media, right? That's all there is to it. Like, rappers don't need Twitter in that sense. Because when you get all emotional, it's like you don't go in the booth and write a song to diss somebody. You, like, get emotional.
Yeah.
And Kanye got all emotional and was like, and then Amber Rose just trumped everybody.
Yo. So that's the part we didn't cover on the show because it didn't happen yet.
Wow.
Yo, the fingers in the booty ass boy hashtag, flames. Flames.
Just bury Kanye.
God. I mean, once again, whatever Kanye's into, Kanye's into.
Right. That's
but
his thing.
It was just crushing on the timeline. It's just like, damn, she put it out there like that? That's bananas. But her and Kim were hugged up in a selfie at the strip club a couple days ago.
Pro wrestling.
And
that's what this is, pro wrestling.
It really is. Vince,
like the Bella
Vince is taking notes.
Yeah.
He's like, yo, this is going to be the hottest shit between John Cena and Daniel Bryan if he gets cleared.
See, all I'm saying is, like, if you're not making a diss track, I don't want to hear it. Like, me logging on and seeing, like, I just came out of a movie. I'm happy. And I come out and I see this, and I'm like, well, where's the diss track? Now, meanwhile, I saw Drake just tormented Meek Mill again.
Oh, but Meek dropped
what, that Warzone or whatever?
Yeah,
whatever.
Yo, it's supposed to be fire. I haven't
it's
listened
not
to it.
It's not.
You like, heard it?
Yeah, it's Meek Mill. Come on. It's Meek Mill.
Okay. I mean, listen.
Come on,
you don't give Meek the credit deserved. He's not whack.
He's not whack, but he's not built for this battle rap shit.
Actually, he's specifically designed for battle rap,
well,
which I don't know why he's so whack at it.
He's
now
faltering.
He's
needs a tune-up.
Yeah, he should have took a warm-up fight.
Like, Drake is... See,
a couple
this,
Andre Wards.
See, the what makes Drake so good at this is he's just smarter than everybody else in the room when it comes to attacking somebody. He's like, all right, you can diss me on social media. You can say what you want to say, but I'm going to put these in the chamber for you, and I'm going to wait and cut them all loose.
Summer 16 was dirty.
Like, he just... Tory Lanez got killed
Tory
on
Lanez, The Weeknd, like I think in that final verse.
If you're in the way, you just got ran over.
Everyone.
So,
you know, took a little jab at Jay, the Kanye pool joint. It's like, yeah, Khaled talking shit at the end. It reminds me of Nas, The Bridge Is Over. When he just came through and ran through Queens, just like, ah, all y'all.
Yes,
Drake was just like, yo, Toronto people, sit down. Like, and Meek, hold
when,
this.
When Corrupt came through knocking over the buildings in New York, it's like, yo.
This is hurting his own people, though. Like, this is just taking aim at your own people. It don't even matter. Dirty.
But
cleaned out the city.
It's what you got to do. It's what you got to do. Like, Kanye and Wiz, like, somebody should have did somebody on banging on wax. That's what we need. Bloods and Chris, banging on wax.
But if Kanye planned this and it turned into Amber Rose, Kim Kardashian three-way, he is the greatest man alive. He won the battle, and he wins every day of life.
Well, yeah, but he's that, well, whatever.
That's the best threesome ever. Yeah, I don't care what you say.
That's not bad. Not bad.
You can do way worse than that. So we had all that. We had Rob Kardashian being a sucker for love. And I don't know what the hell Tiger's doing right now, but he's obviously not watching the internets because Blac Chyna is getting arrested, having like mad perks, getting drug charges, stopped in the airport, and Rob Kardashian drove from L.A. to New Mexico to pick her up. And I feel like he's you now, like you don't want to fly places, just want to take a cool road trip, got a dope-ass car.
Apparently, but, you know, I guess Tiger's at some middle school picking up kids.
Yo, there's always the next one.
He's like recruiting him, like, out of high school.
Yo, I'm telling you, the best thing I've ever heard an old dude say, and this is the realest shit ever, he was like, I may get older, but they're always 18. And that's his reasoning for always going after young chicks.
Okay.
So, Tiger's of the same ilk, I guess.
Right on.
So, it's just like, all right, my man. All right. That's what he wants to do. He's probably still rocking with Kylie, who just looks like an entirely different person. Blac Chyna's, you know, just popping off. She covered the Future tattoo, or she got rid of it, some shit.
Yeah, that was really smart.
Yeah, no, that's, you know, probably don't get that in the first place.
Right. Yeah, you leave that alone.
But yeah, Rob Kardashian's like two Rob Kardashians. He's still chunky. That whole family's just fucking crazy. Yo, we had the OJ movie last night. Did you see it?
I haven't watched it yet. I'm about to watch it when I get home.
Oh, I didn't watch it either. I'm going to watch it. I saw the hashtags and people killing Khloe on that shit. Like, yo, OJ's definitely a dad. He was popping a whore in his sister's bedroom. Like, this picture's like just Chris and OJ just mad cuddled up. It's like, oh, yeah, she's popping off. And she likes black men. She's popping off.
Yeah, see, I got to watch it. I've been
Chris
looking forward
OJ
to that.
On the real.
Probably.
Poor Bruce Jenner. Like, they got Bruce in the movie and shit. He's just smiling and stuff. Like, his girl's just popping the guy on trial for murder.
So does he recognize himself as a man in the past, or did he want to be a woman in the past during this time?
I think
he's
always wanted to be a woman, which is probably why she was popping off with OJ. Listen, she is the realest of realest OGs. Like, she's Don Magic Juan.
Wow.
Like, you got an ex-husband defending your, I guess, is a mister, is a male mistress, your side dude, trying to stop him from going to prison, in which he does. And then you got your husband currently sitting there watching the whole shit play out. She's probably popping all three at the same time.
That's fascinating.
And making money off of it. Kris Jenner's a fucking genius. If we ever get a chance to have anyone on a podcast, we're sitting down with Kris Jenner.
Okay.
Because she's making us some money.
Yo, the only thing about
extra money.
Going back to, I'm throwing all the way off. I was watching a South Park marathon while I was holed up in the hotel.
Okay.
And to see them, their take on Caitlyn Jenner is like the funniest thing in the whole world.
I saw that episode.
Yo, the eye, the tongue hanging out the mouth. I'm sorry. Yo, South Park is wrong. I'd be pissed.
It's one of the best seasons, by the way, that just passed. If people ain't watched the new South Park season, you're missing out on life.
It was phenomenal. I was hollering in my hotel. Just looking at the face, I was like, yo, you got to be tight when you're looking. You got the tongue hanging out your mouth, the lazy eye, like, looking like Forrest Whitaker. Like, oh my God. Anyway.
Yo, so that was the crazy week that you missed. There was actually a huge announcement in combat sports, which we're here to talk about,
lots
some
of
would
them.
Say. Let's say, start from the top, DC versus John Jones. By the time people hear this, depending on when they listen to our episode, the news should be out. It hasn't broken yet. What is your guess? New York's off the table. That's another thing.
It looks like it's going to be in Vegas, right?
It has to be in Vegas.
It doesn't. I mean,
they got to add another card.
Right. They got to add another numbered card. Where's the cheapest site fee is in Vegas? It's April. We don't have anything after this until
June. But we got to get the May one, right?
But see, I don't see anything in May on the table yet. That makes sense.
Well, they moved everything back because 196 was supposed to be this weekend. 196 is now McGregor. So
right.
Now April has to be 97. May has to be 98. June has to be 99.
Eh. Well, hopefully.
So you can put everything in Vegas? We're going to have six straight? I ain't complaining.
I mean, I'm not complaining. If it's not going to be New York,
I can't
figure out where else they would put it.
Yeah, I don't know. Jersey was the only other option, but why go to Jersey? You're just in Jersey last weekend, which we'll touch on later.
Right.
So it makes no sense. I mean, maybe you can move that Brazil card that they have in May.
Possible.
Just move that to the main, you know, UFC 198. That would be
possible. You know what?
You never speculating know what Dana's
on
it, do.
Like us speculating, because by the time they list to it, they go like, "We already got the
Are
answer."
You hyped for John DC?
Yeah, of course I am.
Think Trash Talk's gonna be as good as first time?
Yeah,
coming for you, boy.
Yeah, no, I think it's gonna get real dirty real quick. I don't think Daniel Cormier is.
Oh, Cormier's just been draking this shit. Yeah, he's just been loading the chamber. He's gonna straight try to Meek Mill John Jones.
I hope Cormier comes with like memes and the whole. He's had a whole lot of time to think about this.
Yeah.
He needs to come with like memes.
He's
and
on
everything.
Fox Sports. He got a meme guy. They have to have somebody at Fox Sports.
I'm saying you need to come at him. Like if you're not going to win the fight, win the war of words at least. One of the two, you got to do something.
Something. I mean, so, yeah, that's to say, I already know who you're going to pick in that fight.
Who?
You're picking John Jones, obviously.
Of course I am. Yeah. It's hard for me to see Cormier beating John.
I would
Jones.
Like to see John Jones take the interim shot this weekend in heavyweight. Versus Miocic, that should have been his move. But
well, yeah, I mean, it should
he
have,
wants his belt back. Yeah, and DC's going to talk shit, so he wants to shut him up.
Should be fun.
It's going to be amazing. Stuff that was announced, I know you had this huge opinion on this as soon as it broke.
Yes, I do. I still do. Go ahead.
Canelo versus Khan.
Gross.
Amir finally got the shot. He waited 3 years for this fight. Okay. 3 years. He got passed up by Floyd 3 times, Pacquiao twice. He said, "I'm going to sit back. Kell Brook, you're not worthy, son." No one was worthy of the greatness that was Amir Khan, except Robert Guerrero.
Look, all right, so in a vacuum,
yes,
Khan versus Canelo is a great fight. If nothing else is factored in, right? Okay. And that includes weight. Now, let's take it all, let's take unpack this thing, okay. Right? So we have a guy who campaigns at 147 regularly, Amir Khan.
Previously 140.
Right. 3 fights in 147. He got rocked against Chris Algieri, who doesn't knock anybody out. He got rocked against Luis Collazo, who kind of knocks people out. He got knocked out by Danny Garcia. He's going to be fighting a guy at 155 pounds named Canelo Alvarez.
Rocks everyone, damn near.
Who on fight night will weigh 175, right? And they're fighting for the 165-pound world title. Makes sense out of this.
One, the belt had to be put up just for, you know, just marquee purposes.
To embarrass the belt?
Yeah, I mean, the belts are embarrassed already. It's boxing.
I'm just saying, why defend it? Like, why defend it?
Because
like,
he ain't going to lose.
Like, that's
he's
like Demetrius.
Like, just add that shit to my name. Like, just under my name, it looks kind of blank on that poster. just make this for the title.
It's like Demetrius Johnson saying, "I'm fighting for the light heavyweight title," right? Because, I mean, essentially, that's what it is. He's like, "Oh, yeah, I'm a light heavyweight." And everybody's like, "No, you're not." He's like, "Look, I have the hardware to prove it because I paid a sanctioning fee to get the belt." It's bullshit. It's
Conor McGregor's about to pull this shit. Let him win the 155 title. He'd be like, "You know what? Everybody got to come down 150. Just because."
Nah, this fight is ridiculous. You have two guys who don't want to fight the guys they should be fighting. Amir Khan with Kell Brook, Canelo Alvarez, Gennady Golovkin. They just turned to each other. And I was like, let's make money.
Because those fights will always be there for him. Just playing devil's advocate, because I agree with you. But those fights, regardless of winner and loser of this one, somewhat.
Not if Canelo loses.
Not if Canelo
loses.
The
house comes down if Canelo loses.
But, I mean, he has to take a gimme fight, and then the Triple G fight is still on the table. So, regardless of, you know, outcome, those other fights are still there. So, if Amir Khan loses, cool, you take a gimme fight, which is hard to find for Amir Khan. Blame it on the weight, you know, going up in weight class. Come back down to your normal weight and say, "Kell Brook, let's go." And he's a little bit bigger name. At least he had pay-per-view numbers, so maybe he could negotiate better. Canelo wins. He beat someone way better in Triple G who's just facing his now scheduled face, you know, the automatic.
Who? That's what everybody's saying. Who's that? Who? He's IBF number 2. Yeah, that's all you need to know.
Next guy to get knocked out. So Canelo's going to come in, use that as a bargaining chip. So it's a win-win as far as the placement of the fight.
Yeah.
Canelo gets his date. He gets to be the first boxing match in the new arena.
T-Mobile, yep.
Which I'm sure means a ton to him. And well, maybe not him, but Oscar.
Yeah.
At least, you know, it's a feather in his cap. He don't got shit else to really, you know, hang his hat on at this point. Got no other fighters. So at least he builds a superstar of someone. And then they go on and still can make the fight. Maybe it pushes those fights further, though. Maybe September and November for Khan because of the holiday isn't reasonable anymore. Maybe it's next year at this time. But they got no – it's a win-win. I mean, this money.
Look, it goes like this. This is how I look at it. Amir Khan's in a no-lose situation. He loses, he goes, "Hey, I fought a big guy. So what? I lost." He has no O to protect.
As long as he doesn't get Pacquiao.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. If he gets embarrassed, that's something else. But he has no O to protect. He's not an undefeated fighter protecting an undefeated record. So if he loses, kind of it's like, so what? And he goes and says, hey, Kell Brook, look at these numbers we just did. Now you're the B-side, bitch. Let's do this. I hate that mentality because Kell Brook should be the A-side of this fight.
Correct.
But this is what Khan's going to do. Meanwhile, Canelo is going to say, hey, Gennady, nobody watched your fight because it's on HBO and you barely pull any pay-per-view numbers. Look at my pay-per-view numbers. Now, if you want to make this fight happen, you're going to have to come down to 155 to fight me. Meanwhile, Gennady's going to say, but I want to unify titles that I earned at 160 at 160. But boxing doesn't work like that. Logic is completely thrown out the window.
Yeah, boxing doesn't care. It's about money.
It's all that matters is money. Now, my bigger issue with this is if I'm Canelo Alvarez and I'm getting ready to fight Gennady Golovkin, who has knocked out 21 opponents in a row and is a legit middleweight, why am I fighting a guy at 147 with a glass jaw?
Because it's a tune-up fight. Gennady's fighting a tune-up fight.
It's not
going
to prepare him for anything.
Tune-up fights don't. They just keep you in shape.
All I'm telling
you, glorified sparring.
All this fight tells me is this.
Andre Ward is, by the way, is fighting two tuna cans before he's going to fight Kovalev.
Didn't I say this before? I told you he's going to fight cans. He's not fighting anybody worth anything.
So he's doing the same shit. At least Canelo's making money off of it.
He's going to get his check. But my thing is with Canelo, it's like, you're clearly stating, I'm never going to fight Gennady Golovkin at 160. It's never going to happen. It's not. Because all he's going to do is say, I make more money. I don't need you. And Gennady's going to have to be the one to make the decision. Am I going to come down and beat his ass? Or am I going to stay here?
Which he probably will.
Which it feels like he might have to. And I hate that.
Why are we fighting? 156?
Yeah, why are we fighting for a 160 title at junior middleweight?
Because he wants to drain him.
This is stupid.
And he's going to do exactly what Floyd Mayweather did for years.
Yeah, draining people.
Draining people. Or in this case, with Amir Khan, bullying him. And he's going to say, we're going to fight at a weight you never fought before. I'm going to be a giant, and I'm going to hurt you. And then the next fight, oh, you know what? I don't feel like being a giant. You have to come down to fight me. And then drain him. Because he knows how his body felt when he had to drain himself to fight Mayweather. And he's going to do it to everyone possible above him. The only people who get a fair shake at it is people who are actually at 154.
Yeah, so here's the problem. Because Canelo has this advantage because he's still young, that he can cut this weight the way he does and balloons back up to 175.
Correct.
To be the man, I feel like if you weigh 175 on fight night, Golovkin doesn't even weigh 175 on fight night. He fights at 160. Why are we doing this? Like, soon you're going to get called out.
Because he can.
What happens if Amir Khan wins this fight and becomes the middleweight champion of the world? He's never fighting Canelo at 160. Triple G at 160. Canelo's kind of ruined at this point because you just lost to Amir Khan, right? We all think Canelo's good, but we've all seen holes in Canelo's game. I'm not saying Amir Khan's going
to
expose him.
I was about to say, Khan might not be
but
one,
though. But if Amir Khan manages to hang around for 12 rounds, Canelo's stock drops significantly because you got to put away Amir Khan. There's no question. You can't let that man hang around.
It doesn't have to be KO or nothing. I mean, he didn't KO.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. If Hulk Hogan's wrestling Rey Mysterio and you don't body slam Rey Mysterio, there's a problem. He's a midget. And people are like, well, the eye test says Amir's kind of.
I think Rey Mysterio beat Brock Lesnar.
Oh, my God.
So it is what it is.
People say Amir Khan looks like he's the same size as Canelo. No, he's not. Canelo looked like WrestleMania Hulk Hogan in there against Cotto. Cotto's bigger than Amir Khan. Imagine what Amir's going to look like.
Leaps and bounds bigger than him.
Like, and Amir's never even fought at this weight.
No, but Amir got the height. He can pack on some weight.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean he can pack on the power to go with the weight. It's not like he knows
how.
He
got power at 140.
This is my problem. And he's got a glass jaw. And people are like, well, the glass jaw's cured. He hasn't fought any hitters. He got knocked out by Danny Garcia, right? And he fought Luis Collazo. He fought Devin Alexander. It's like, and Chris Algieri. And Chris Algieri was plugging him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, come on, that man. Fight was a little closer than it had to be.
So congratulations, Amir. You got a check. You're going to get your leveraging power, and then you're going to get your ass kicked by Canelo, and then you're going to get beat up by Kell Brook. That's how this story is.
Two mega checks. That's what he's in it
and
for.
And then
at
you
this
walk,
point.
Just walk, leave. Goodbye.
And then beat up some nobodies and collect, like, you know, your little checks after that. It's not bad. He's been waiting 3 years for this one mega check. He got it. What else? We touched on Triple G getting a mandatory. Thurman versus Porter. It's, you know, going down. Mohican Sun.
In Connecticut. I don't get it, but whatever. At least the fight is happening.
Watching. It's kind of sneaking up on us. Quick.
Yeah, it is.
Between announcement and actual fight. So that's pretty quick. You know, it was cool talking to Sean and Thurman. I was in L.A. for the announcement. It was before the Garcia fight, so that was dope. Right. You know, both of them really excited. Should be an action-packed fight. No one's talking about defense. You know,
why would they?
Keith, even though Keith has been fighting, you know, differently lately, he's been trying to outbox people. We've seen less of one-time mentality from Keith lately. So we'll see if he, you know, tries to dance around Sean Porter and, you know, do the Kell Brook, the punch and hold. Because going back and watching that fight, it was brutal to watch.
Yeah.
Because Kell Brook just held him the whole time and then outlanded him in most rounds. It was ugly. I just kind of felt like giving the belt to Sean. Like, I at the end of it, I was just like, you know what? Sean fought the better fight, to be honest. He just didn't hit him as much.
Kell got away with murder that fight. Like, all that holding, it should have been a warning or something.
That shit was horrible.
Yeah.
So I feel bad for Sean. I don't even take that away from him anymore. Like, you know, he just got to keep rolling on that one. So this fight should be exciting. That was announced. Kovalev was just fighting past weekend.
You saw, okay, so I was at Sundance, and I couldn't watch the fight, but I said one thing. The only thing that I wanted to see is how much blood and piss that Kovalev was going to beat out of Pascal this time around. I watched the fight in my hotel room, and he beat the blood and piss out of Pascal and made it. Look,
Pascal ain't quit, though.
Freddie Roach could have let him quit two rounds earlier. There was no way Pascal was going to do anything to pinch him.
Freddie needed to save him a little earlier than that.
Rescue that man. Kovalev, look. Kovalev
showed heart on Pascal's point, but he just took.
Look how far that gets you.
Yeah, just took an ass whooping.
So now what? All right. So fortunately for Kovalev, he's at least fighting guys at rank, which Andre Ward's not doing. Andre Ward should be fighting John Pascal. That's what should have happened. Not now. He's damaged goods. So Kovalev to me is, I mean, he's still my number one pound for pound. People say Roman Gonzalez is number one. Kovalev's got the bigger names on his resume.
We should see Roman. Oh, that's the prop. It's a product of the weight class.
Yeah. Estrada's the man there for Chocolatito, but whatever.
And he wants him.
Yeah.
I don't know why that's not going down. But
they're trying to make it a money fight. They're trying to.
Yeah. He'll
boxing.
Be on the Triple G card, I'm sure, again. They'll plug them
both. Have to. Nobody's going to want to see this manslaughter that's about to happen.
And they're going to try to, you know, build up Chocolatito until he can hold his own card and, you know, they can get some money out of it, I guess. We'll see how that is going forward. But, yeah, Kovalev, man, he looked dominant. Adonis Stevenson in the ring after that.
Get this clown out of here.
That shit was hilarious.
Man.
What was that noise Kovalev was making?
I don't know.
Like a quail call or something?
I don't know.
Expect a quail man from Doug to pop out.
Listen, Adonis Stevenson is becoming a character of himself. Because once upon a time,
39. The clock is ticking.
I'm saying, like,
make that money.
When he flattened Chad Doss, we was like, oh, shit. And then he beat Tavoris Cloud. We were like, oh, shit, Adonis Stevenson's next. And then nothing. Nothing happened. And what are you doing at this point? Are you not – what are you protecting? Fight. Make this fight happen. You have nothing left to do.
No.
You're not even
money.
Getting fights.
This is the only big fight he has on the table.
You know what? Send Andre Ward after Adonis Stevenson. Let him beat his ass. How about that? I wouldn't mind it.
Nah, but I want to see Andre Ward get knocked out on some fluke shit.
He won't get knocked out by Adonis Stevenson.
I don't know.
He'll beat Adonis Stevenson handily.
No, yeah, I mean, just skill-wise and talent, he's a way better boxer.
No, he'll avoid.
But he'll get caught by the sneaky and
he
just
won't
be out.
Andre Ward's too good for Adonis Stevenson. But if Adonis is not going to fight Kovalev, fight somebody. You're not fighting Pat. Like, dude, fight somebody.
Nah, he just wants to trash talk.
Yeah, bum. And Adonis is a good fighter.
Adonis
it's
Superman
just,
fan.
The politics of boxing have made him look like a pure idiot in this rivalry. As Kovalev is like, look, I'm fighting everybody and you're fighting nobody. Adonis chicken shit.
Hopefully you get to see that, man. If it's not before Andre Ward, give it to me after Andre Ward. Kovalev's going to, you know, work him whichever way it goes. And I think Kovalev at this point has that little bit of grudge inside for Adonis. So he's going to take him out. Like, it'll be ugly.
Yeah.
There's actually some malice behind that. Those are a lot of boxing things that we had to cover. You know what? We might as well go to a quick break because we got to come back. We got to talk UFC in depth. And talk about tons of wrestling.
Well, let's do this. Before we talk about our preview stuff, let's just go ahead and cover this Fox card real quick. Because it's really not there's not a whole lot to talk about. I mean, Anthony Johnson did exactly what I expected him to do against Bader, which was like legal manslaughter. What the hell was Bader thinking going for a Kimura?
He was scared as shit of that right hand. He was like, oh, to the ground.
And then what?
And then Anthony got his back, and then it was a Kimura. Oh, my God. And that was, like, the illest knockout I've seen in a while just because it was such short punches. And Bader was out with two.
Yeah. Night-night.
And I was like, damn, you're so scared of the right standing up that you got knocked out on your belly in, like, two short ones. Just boop, boop.
If this doesn't reinforce the fact that I want to see Rumble Johnson versus John Jones more than anything, I don't know what else there is to do, because all Rumble's going to do is keep killing everybody until he gets another shot.
Yeah, no one else has anything for him.
No.
The only hope you get is to drag him deep into the third and fourth.
That's the only thing that Cormier has an advantage over everybody is that wrestling that he has, and that dirty boxing works against Rumble. Doesn't work against Jon Jones. But I don't know if Jon Jones can do what he does against Rumble Johnson.
Yeah, styles make fights.
Exactly. Love to see it.
Jon tried to stand up against Rumble. Once again, you make one mistake,
you're going to sleep.
the guy got the biggest hands I've ever seen in real life.
He will send him back into a coke bench.
We're about the same size, me and Rumble, and his hands are twice the size of mine, like width across, and his knuckles stick out like 4 inches. I was like, yo, what is with you? Like, he's damn near halfway to Wolverine.
Yo, you know what? He's like Canelo. Because he fought in a weight class when his ass was like 3 weight classes. Like, dude, can you believe he fought at welterweight?
I have no clue how he one cut to 170. That's not healthy.
He was at 155.
And
no, I'm sorry, 170.
170, I don't think 185.
Yeah, 170, 185. Dude, what?
170 is insane. Like, I don't know how he got that thin. Obviously, his power didn't translate. He couldn't do shit that.
Like, I mean, he was destroying people, but then he was missing weight like crazy. So it was like the give and take. I don't know how somebody didn't get in Rumble's ear and was like, yo, dog, you're an offensive lineman and you're trying to play like cornerback. Like, what are you doing? Like, what are you doing?
Yo, when someone did tell him, like, yo, just go for 205. I think you can still knock people out. Oh, yeah? I still knock people out there? And then he's like, boom. Oh, yeah, I'm not leaving.
After he left the UFC.
Fight a heavyweight if you want.
Yeah. Well, he did fight a heavyweight in the World Series. After he left the UFC when he got cut for missing weight again. And he went to the World Series of Fight and he started destroying people. Like, you could see it in his eyes. He was like, look what I found. Like, I can kill everybody. Like, this
I'm
weight,
so happy.
Yeah,
I get to eat.
Anyway, yeah, Bader had no business in there. I know Cormier was, like, snickering all through the broadcast.
But now we have to change the tone of this recap because everything is not awesome.
Your boy Sage Northcutt got beat.
Sage tapped. Sage tapped to some whack shit, though. I'm not going to lie to you. Honestly, all you think he had to do was lift his hips and swing his right arm under his neck. Like, just put your right arm on the other side, Sage. He had movement. He was moving his head. I understand the choke might be a little tight, but he wasn't in danger.
The kid panicked.
He panicked. That's experience, and he's never been pressured.
The kid, listen to me, the kid panicked.
He's not wrong with that.
He's a child. He panicked. He got put in a position that he didn't like. Didn't know how to get out of it, panicked and tapped.
And we were all talking about this on Twitter after the fight. I still think he has GSP, Rory McDonald, pedigree and capability. And I think everything says that he's going to reach that level inside of me. Now, will he reach that level? It depends on like one of two things. If he loves school and being an engineer more than he loves fighting, he's never going to reach that level.
You're telling him, fuck school.
No, yeah, fuck school. Listen, he said he's going to train at TriStar the whole time. He's like, oh, I'm still at Texas A&M. Fuck Texas A&M. It's going to be there forever. Listen, I don't care. Don't be Johnny Manziel on your own time. You want to be Johnny Manziel? Go be Johnny Manziel. But you're fighting against guys who do nothing but train. This is a grown man sport now. Like, we're not in those little leagues. You can't half train.
Shane Carwin did it for a while. He was working as an engineer.
Ain't no half-stepping. I mean, Miocic is... what's his face? Firefighter.
Yeah.
I mean, you can do, but school and being 19, these grown men, like, doing side jobs.
Oh, yeah.
No, like, you can't split your mentality. You got stuff to learn still. Be a pro. And that's all I wanted. Be a pro. Stop playing around with it. Train full time. And, if he's only fighting because his dad trained him to be a fighter since he was 4, like, he was part of the Foot Clan in Ninja Turtles and his dad's fucking Super Shredder, then if that's the case, then don't fight, my man, because you're only going to half step and this shit ain't going to be for you. You ain't never going to reach your potential. But if he loves fighting, because he's built for it, that it's just a fact of matter.
Right.
He's a freak of nature. If he loves fighting, like in his core, go train full time, go with Rory, go with GSP, learn some shit at TriStar, come in and focus, and then he could be a monster. Will he lose again? Yes, he's 19 years old. But by 26, this kid is a champion. At 170, he is your champion in 5 years.
Okay, so I wouldn't go as far as saying he's going to be a champion, but I do agree with you. So here's my issue. Sage loses, right?
Mm-hmm.
And everybody on Twitter, like, shits on the poor kid.
Yeah, quick.
He is a child,
and
right?
And Dana White.
Like, listen, yes, he got pushed too fast. That's clear. The Cody Pfister fight should have been very clear that he has some work to do off his back. He does not know how to fight off the ground. And he still thinks this is like a kung fu tournament because he went for like some weird hand plant hook
kick. Oh, you see that? That's what it's the downfall was.
It's what did him in.
Yeah. So he was winning the first round, by the way, easily.
So him losing, like, yeah, people, like, everybody made fun of him. And it's like, but don't be mad at him. He ain't do nothing to you. Like, don't be mad he took the 40 and 40. Who wouldn't? Yeah. You would. You know what I'm
and
saying?
And he ain't do nothing wrong. Listen, that's a learn. You try the stupid kick, you get tapped. Okay, he's not going to try that kick again. I guarantee that.
No, he's going to learn.
You know what? Once again, the platform is what did him in and why everyone's upset and it's easy to attack him. But Conor McGregor is wrecking shit. Conor McGregor lost the same exact way as this kid. So at 19 years old, 20 years old, Conor McGregor stepped in, thought he was Superman, went up to 155 and got tapped by Joseph Duffy.
Right. Learned
his
lesson.
He got tapped again at 155. You know what? I should probably stay at 145. So you look at someone like Sage who moved up to 170. Everything is awesome. Yeah, Dana, you need me to do this on, you know, 5 days notice? Cool. I just fight. No. Kid, this is a grown man business.
You gotta learn.
Don't move up in 5 days. Think you're just going to beat the hell out of someone 15 pounds heavier than you because you already cut all the way down.
Right.
Damn near. Your body's just drained, and now you put on mad weight, like just water weight to get back up to the 170 limit. Stay in your class. Take fights on good notice. If you got to back out, back out. Mr. Dana is going to forgive you.
Yeah. Or if he doesn't, oh well.
Say no, sir. Like, I can't do it. Okay. That was his downfall.
So for our listeners, if you do not follow Sage Northcutt on Twitter, you would miss something truly amazing after you lost this fight. Sage Northcutt loses the fight, for those who haven't seen this yet, and posts a video of him on a hoverboard going in circles with a basketball in his hands. Hey, guys, thanks for all the support. I'll be back. Shoots the basketball.
Bricks.
And misses the fucking shot. It was so indicative of everything is going right until you got your shot and then you missed. That is exactly what happened to him.
Listen,
on Saturday
sometimes
night.
You just got to shoot your shot.
But he's still, exactly. But he's still happy about it. He's
still
fine.
Happy.
So all you guys who are upset and like, good for you, Sage, you lost. He doesn't care.
Nope.
Everything is still awesome to Sage Northcutt.
I don't think he cares about the money. He just wants to go in there, have fun. Like, if he loses, he legit has, the way we've seen the MMA world now, 14, 15 years left of prime.
That's what I'm saying. Nobody peaks
like,
at this age.
Like, he's like, yo, I'm going to be fighting for 15 years.
This isn't boxing. You don't have to protect the old. Like, Robbie Lawler peaked in his late 20s, early 30s.
He got
shit,
cut.
Early 30s. Exactly.
He was in there at 19, too.
Everybody blows it when they're young. Because, like, ask Carlos Conde. He'll tell you, my mind peaked at a certain level. Things click. The game slows down when you get older because you understand what you're doing. Sage right now is playing Mortal Kombat. Like, he's like, get over here. And he's like trying to throw fancy kicks. And he's like, smile like, cool, this is great, dude. I'm going to kick you with this. Like, no, dude, you got to slow down. Once he slows down, he's going to get it.
Oh, yeah.
If he, the only problem I have, though, is if he never figures out this ground thing, which is very possible, then he'll never win. He's going to get beat up.
No, I think TriStar is going
to
teach him.
They're
going to
have Because
he's a freak athlete. He's enthusiastic about learning, and at least about training.
Yeah,
you show up every day, you catch some shit by osmosis. And GSP and Rory are two guys who are phenomenal strikers who learn to be really good on the ground, especially on their backs. And at this point, Rory, I think, is even better than GSP in terms of not ending up on his back. His sprawl is sick.
Yeah, it is.
It's hard as hell to get Rory down at this point. GSP, for some reason, always ended up on his back. But that's lay and pray, GSP. But when he was up, he did enough damage to steal rounds. But this kid is going to the right place. Like I said, he's built just like them physically.
He'll be fine.
You know, he's coming from that same background. They're going to teach him shit he needs to do. And sadly, Rory better catch his belt now, because if not, he's going to be stuck in between GSP and this kid and never get the title.
Yeah.
So it's sad as hell. Let's take that quick break, though.
Yes, sir.
We got to hit the break up. When we come back, we're talking UFC Fight Night. That's this weekend. We just came from the media day, and we're talking mad wrestling when we come back.
We also got to talk a defection, too, in the UFC.
Oh, yes. Hey, follow the money. We'll be right back. All right, now we want to take a pause and ask you, our loyal listeners, for a favor. We want to get to know you, and to do so, we need you to fill out a quick online survey. It won't take more than 5 minutes, and besides helping out the show, you'll be entered for a chance to win a $100 iTunes gift card.
We know some of you may have already done surveys like this in the past, but we really need you to log in and fill this thing out as accurately as possible. Once we know more about you, the listeners, we'll be able to help deliver the show and sponsors you dream about. Finding sponsors who are a good fit means we get to give you good deals and information on the brands you care about while keeping the show free to enjoy every week.
And if you don't care about helping us or making the show better, do it for the chance to win an iTunes or Amazon.com gift card. I know you want that.
TheCornerSurvey.com. Again, that's TheCornerSurvey.com.
Help us out.
Help us.
Do it.
Do it.
All right, we're back from that quick break. And like we promised, we got to talk about the Benedict Arnold. Nah, just kidding. Just kidding. Man, it was free agency for Benson Henderson, and he dipped.
Yeah, he's out.
I mean, UFC threw incentive-laden deal is what Dana said. I don't know what that means anymore. But Bellator is like, yo, hey, come over here, immediate title shot, and you get the shmoney.
Look, they're doing the Ted Turner right now. They're going to try to WCW the game. As long as they get the good talent. Because UFC treated Ben Henderson like he's an old man. Like, oh, you used to be a world champion. We're not going to match that offer. You're not worth it. Meanwhile, Ben just won two fights at welterweight, and he's going to probably be the champion Bellator. And he's opening the door for guys like Alistair Overeem to follow through and perhaps Aljamain Sterling.
I don't know if Aljamain goes because, once again, Benson held the title. He did everything he had to do in the UFC.
That's true.
He got shit to prove. He can go. Overeem is older. Take the money. Aljamain got a long time left in his career.
He does. I mean, you know, it's just that somebody's going to have to blink in the standoff right now because Aljamain doesn't look like he wants to budge. He wants his money. And
smart
UFC,
by him.
The UFC doesn't want to give him his money. So somebody's going to offer him the right amount, and he might jump ship. What I'm saying, though, is the UFC needs to protect its fighters. Like, these guys, you're making money hand over fist. You know, like, pay these guys a little bit more. Losing Benson Henderson may not sound too bad at first, but in the long run, you don't want to open up the floodgates for all these guys to just say, you know what, fuck it. I don't feel like wearing this Reebok fight kit anymore. I can get sponsorships over at Bellator.
Word.
I'm out.
It's a lot more money, especially if you get upfront and the sponsorships. And if you're a middling guy in the UFC, why not?
Right.
Bellator is a shit show half the time. You know, no disrespect, I guess, to them. But, I mean, look at the card that's coming up. Kimbo versus Dada. Like, come on, man. Like, really? You got Shamrock versus Hoist.
It looks bad.
It does look bad. Like, their best move is just overpaying these UFC guys because there's only so much of this that we'll take from them with, you know, the stupid corny matchups to tune in and kind of trick people. Right now, it's a circus. It's pro wrestling. It's, you know, they're treating everything like a WrestleMania. Like, oh, we get Triple H versus Sting. It's just a shit show. Like, yeah. We know what it is. They can't do that forever, though. You need real talent. They have talent, but you got to build your stars, too. Right now, they're going for the worst recipe, which is let's go buy established stars who may be over the hill, maybe not, but let's just go buy them for overpriced and neglect building our own stars, which was the downfall of WCW.
It was exactly what they did. They bought all these big names. Meanwhile, right under their nose, it was building the cruiserweight division, which, you know, Rey Mysterio, Eddie Guerrero, Chris Jericho, and then those guys left.
Shit, you had Benoit. You had just...
Yeah. You can't rely on old farts forever. That's
nope.
That's all it is. But it is a good strategy to get people to tune in, to get a couple, to get a Benson Henderson who's still in his prime. It's not a bad deal.
No, Benson's good. Now, let's see if you skew younger on the people you steal, or if you skew older.
I mean, Overeem should go, too. I mean, truthfully, the heavyweight divisions on both sides are pretty lean.
Yeah.
So Overeem going to Bellator's heavyweight division hurts the UFC because they have nobody there. Overeem just flattened one of your top five guys in Junior Dos Santos. He comes to Bellator and becomes a champ, just like he did in Strikeforce. It's just Overeem's thing. He's never going to win the UFC. It's just not in his blood. But if that's the case, then so be it. Overeem can go. But UFC just got to protect these guys a little bit more.
I mean, we'll see if, you know, Dana is willing to open up the bank. He got to look away from Conor McGregor, though. Like, it's cool this guy's making a shitload of money. You know, do what got you here.
Exactly.
Build the roster, not just one person. And that's something Dana has to keep an eye on. Looking forward to this card this weekend, though. We just came from Media Day. It was supposed
to be
UFC 196. I'm looking forward to going to a fight. It feels like it's been a while, man. Now I'm just spoiled and shit. Like,
yeah,
man,
you are.
It's been so long since we had a fight. We just had one like 3 weeks ago.
I'm not like, as soon as Kane and Verdum fell off of this card, I was like, eh. And like, Wonderboy and Hendrix, I've always wanted to see though. Because I have this, we'll talk about predictions in a minute. I just have this feeling that this fight could be amazing if Hendrix doesn't close the distance quick and Wonderboy might be stamping his name as the next big thing in the welterweight division.
Wonder Boy. I mean, you were high on him before.
Told you when he smoked Ellenberger. Bro, he wasn't with me on that.
I don't know. I was like, Ellenberger, I think, can, you know, stand a chance. Boom. It's like, damn. It really
Nobody wants to stand up with that guy, man.
At all. So, I mean, you know, Wonder Boy made me a believer. Hendrix is going to stand up, I believe. He's in better shape. The guy's, you know, not far removed from being a champion. The two fights he had were extremely close. I think he would have dominated Woodley. So we'll see if he can get past Ellenberger. Wonder Boy. His best shot is taking Wonder Boy down.
Yes.
But got to close the distance to do so. You're going to get hit.
That's the problem.
He gets hit a lot, by the way.
And Hendrix is a guy, he's wrestler first. So he comes in, like, he relies on that overhand.
Head down.
Yeah. So you're wide open to getting picked apart. So there's a lot of things here for Wonder Boy to take advantage of. And if he does, you know, it's going to be hell to pay because, you know, we might get see Johnny Hendrix get knocked the fuck out.
That'd be fucking amazing, though.
It's all possible.
We haven't seen that, though.
No, like, we haven't. So there was this other
crazy
thing.
Crazy year in mixed martial arts.
Talking to Wonder Boy today, I'm like, so there's a guy named Conor McGregor who wants to come up to 170. And I'm looking at him. I'm like, you know, you guys are like the same fighter in a sense, right? You both like to stand and bang. Why don't y'all fight? And he's like, I love to greet him. And like a Wonder Boy Conor fight?
Be amazing.
Just for the sheer aesthetics, it'd be like watching a Bruce Lee flick.
Yeah.
It'd be ridiculous.
There's going to be no ground game. It's just who's going to make the first mistake? That's what it is.
Yeah.
Somebody getting knocked out.
Somebody's definitely getting knocked out.
Conor might get knocked out now. I mean, you can only go up so far and wait before like the shit catches up to you. So I think that might be like a little out of his realm. But it'll be interesting to see. Once again, in UFC, taking L's, it ain't going to kill you.
Nah, shit happens.
I kind of want to see that more than Nick Diaz fight.
Dude, styles make fights. That's a hell of a fight. But yeah, I'm high on the Wonder Boy train. I'm going to go ahead and pick Wonder Boy to beat Hendrix. I'm gonna go out on a limb here. All it is to me is there's two things. Hendrix looks a lot. He looks great. He slimmed down. He closed the restaurant, which is indicative of his weight. Like he looks like a different fighter. I just don't know how that translates once he gets into the cage.
Because I mean, the guy was a champion. Like he's. I have no reason to doubt him.
No, you don't.
It's just, is Thompson better? That division is stacked. Is he better?
Can Hendrix close the distance? That's all there is to it.
Yeah.
Can Hendrix close the distance quickly and then force Wonderboy to fight off of his back or with his back up against the cage?
But we're getting great fights in that division for at least the foreseeable future.
The welterweight division is stacked.
I mean, you see a guy like Rory McDonald's going to come back. I mean, down the line, you can see Rory versus Wonderboy. You can see Condit. If he wants
Woodley,
to come back.
You got
Woodley's the wackest to me. Just maybe because his style is boring.
No, we'll
he's still good, but I mean we'll see.
Call him the wackest.
Yo, he is the wackest in the division. Like, come on, man. We don't want to see you just wrestle people to death. Everyone else is trying to bang.
But that division's loaded, so it's like this is a welcome fight. So know that Wonder Boy is ranked number 9 at that.
Which is ridiculous. He's going up.
He'll go up. I mean, yeah, if he has a good showing, he's going up. So, yeah, that fight, I'm excited. Everything else, I'm like, eh.
I mean.
Roy Nelson, Jared Rawshaw?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Today we talked to a friend of the podcast.
Mike Jackson.
Mike Jackson. A couple episodes ago, you can listen to our interview with him. He was hilarious today.
Yes, he was. He knew where he was, and he knew he had to sell a fight.
Ooh, that guy can talk. Him versus CM Punk would be amazing. Just pre-fight.
They could cut a lot of promos, WWE style.
Great.
Why not?
Great promos.
He said he's in the – what did he tell me today? What did he say?
He said he's here to annihilate – no, he didn't even use annihilate.
He used something bananas, though.
Assassinate the character of CM Punk,
yes.
Which is why he only – refers to him as Phil Brooks.
Which is – I'm like, this dude, he knows what he's doing.
Yeah, he was like, you're not going to say CM Punk? He's like, no, I'm here to assassinate the character of CM Punk. His name is Phil Brooks.
I love him back
to where he belongs.
I love it. And you know what sucks is that with all this going on, with all this at stake, because Punk is going to be cage side, and with Punk being cage side, this fight should be on television.
Yes.
Like, if you look at the rest of the card, it's like,
I can't believe they didn't bump it up.
It's ridiculous why they didn't, but whatever. What else we have in this card? We got Zach Mikowski and Joseph Benavidez.
Oh, who do you have in that fight?
Oh, which fight?
In all the fights, we're supposed to be doing
well,
prediction.
I'm picking Wonder Boy. Who you got in the Hendrix fight?
I have Hendrix.
Okay. Co-main event, Roy Nelson and Jared Rawshaw. Who you got?
I have Big Country.
Don't sound too happy.
I know. I'm like, man, I got to pick somebody in that shit.
I'm going to pick Roy Nelson as well.
It's just whoever lands the punch.
Well, Jared's not landing shit, so he's going to have to wrestle Roy Nelson because his hands aren't that good. I figure that Roy Nelson is going to land this punch sooner or later, I hope. Roy's been on a terrible losing streak, so, yeah, I'm picking Roy Nelson. Next fight?
Who's next on there? You got it. I should have opened up the lineup.
Jeez.
Listen, I'm ill-prepared.
Faze
right
Yao and OSP.
Oh, yeah. I'm trying to run down who the hell we saw today. OSP. I think he bounces back.
This is a tough fight, man. I like Faze
Yao
a lot.
OSP was on a good run for a second.
He was, and I pick OSP a lot to win fights. It's just if he hasn't learned how to hone his striking in because it's very wide and sloppy and he relies a lot on athleticism, Faze Yao could just beat him up. So I'm going to pick OSP, though. I think OSP.
With all that being said,
because OSP, when he hits you, you go down, and I figure he's going to hit Faze Yao, and hopefully he's been working a lot on his striking. So
Benavidez looked good today.
Benavidez
said the right things.
Yeah,
he went and trained with TJ.
Alpha Male, that house is a shambles. Between Alpha Male and the Black Zillions, it should be like a reality show.
Oh, that'd be amazing!
House on
reality
fire.
Show. Yeah, it's like Uriah and the Young Guns.
Yeah,
because everyone with age and common sense is leaving because they're like, yo, our best coach left for better facilities. I think I'm gonna go with him. Yeah. Like, I don't even know why Uriah like takes offense to that. It's just common sense. Like, you still got the Young Guns. They don't know any better. Teach them and hope, you know, Garbrandt's the next one and hope Paige comes back from a fucking
Don't lose
thrashing.
That kid. That's my thing. Don't lose Garbrandt. Even though he's got a hell of a fight with John Lineker coming up, don't lose Garbrandt. He's the future. Benavidez has peaked. Like, where does he go from here? He beats, let's just say he beats Makovsky, right? Like, people think he should.
Yeah.
Which I think that might be a great fight because Makovsky's a counter striker and Benavidez is going to come forward. Could be a great fight. Makovsky was in Bellator, used to run shit too. Benavidez wins. He doesn't get a shot at DJ.
No, DJ, I think, has to move up sooner or later. I think
guess.
You force him to move up, right?
Yes, you force
him. It might
him.
Be the first, like, title vacated due to just sheer dominance.
Yeah.
Like, yo, you just got to come up off that, my man. We'll pay you like a champion, but you got to get your ass out of this division.
Yeah, come on, dude. Let's go. Let's
it's
go.
It's a log jam. We can't see shit anymore.
So you picking Benavidez or Makovsky?
I'm picking Benavidez.
Okay. I'm gonna pick Makovsky. I'm going to go out on a limb and pick Jack. Not with a whole lot of confidence. I just want to see somebody else win.
We have Mike Pyle.
Mike Pyle win. I don't care.
Yeah, Sean Spencer. Berkman, KJ Nunes.
That's actually an interesting fight because KJ is going to strike with him. Berkman had a
Berkman's
nice little surge.
Been entertaining.
Yes,
he took the loss last time out, but still an entertaining fight.
I'm picking Berkman over KJ.
Yeah, man. It just—he's past his prime, and he's still trying to do shit like he's in his prime, kinda. So it's a little sad to watch, but he got heart.
Yeah.
Like, so you never count Berkman out. He's coming to fight. Derek Lewis.
The Black Beast. I'm picking Derek Lewis because as long as his name is the Black Beast, I'm going to pick him.
All right. He actually trains with Mike Jackson. Interesting enough. Scoggins, Ray Borg.
Ray Borg's a cat on the rise. I like Ray Borg a lot. He should make mincemeat out of Scoggins. I just want to see how he does it. So I'm picking
and
Borg.
And the other one that really matters, the golden ticket fight. If, you know, we get Red Panty Night in a couple of weeks, this is the golden ticket fight. And Mickey Gall versus Mike Jackson to see who wins the CM Punk sweepstakes. Who do you have?
I'll just pick Mike Jackson because I haven't watched enough of either fighter to make a real pick. And
me
Mike
either.
Jackson
I'm picking Mike. He was on a podcast.
Yeah, there we go.
And I just want to see him and CM Punk talk trash to each other. So, Mike is our prediction. Mike said he's knocking him out. So,
okay.
That'd be amazing. I can't wait to see that fight. That's that card. Ran down all of the UFC stuff. I don't think there's any other big UFC announcements that we have to talk about.
Nah.
So finally, we get to WWE. The first time in 2 weeks.
Yeah,
a lot of shit
man.
Happened. I watched Royal Rumble at the house of Marcus Vanderberg, friend of the podcast.
Yes, sir.
You know, guest host once upon a time, Yahoo Sports own. That was fun. We chilled, had a nice little time. His crib is dope. Very nice. Hospitable to me as well. Had a blast over there. So, Royal Rumble, I liked it. I enjoyed it from start to finish.
With the exception of Kalisto and Velvet. And who are wrestling again? Why are we having Groundhog Day every day?
I don't know. What the hell is going
anyway,
on?
Anyway, yeah, we'll go back a week or so. We won't spend too much time on it because it's kind of old now. But, yeah, Royal Rumble was actually entertaining. Like, from the moment that AJ entered the ring at number 3, which I said on Twitter, which I felt like was a complete botch of keeping the camera on Roman Reigns' face instead of getting the crowd reaction when AJ came out.
Oh, I heard the Titantron. It was just like, I am, and then it paused, and it was like phenomenal. Yeah, with like his logo, and people just lost their shit.
Like they should have showed that.
I think there's like a crowd video that's out there.
Man, there needs to be, because like that crowd popped hard. And let me just be clear, AJ Styles' entrance music is the shit. That shit is
That shit's incredible. And y'all, I tweeted about it earlier, but I was like, yo, I was put on my hoodie because it's been cold in Vegas, been brick ass cold, been rocking the hoodie. And I had to take it off. I had the hood over my head.
Oh, God.
And randomly, I just stopped, swung it back, and hit the AJ Styles pose. Like, I just had to do it. And I was like, yo, I'm a clown for that. But sometimes, every now and then, you know, you just got to style on people.
So, I think the Royal Rumble was booked extremely well.
Yep, Sasha. Bay is back.
Yeah, Sasha came back. That crowd popped crazy when she went after
Amazing. Charlotte. And then now they're just killing it again. I'm glad she turned on Team Bad. But now it looks like it's going to be Charlotte versus Nikki Bella.
I don't know what the hell's
going
on.
Fastlane? What the
fuck
is that?
Look, let me speak on this real quick. So Sasha came in. They didn't know. It feels like during booking they were like, you're going to be a face or a heel. So she kicks Becky Lynch in the stomach. It goes after Charlotte. Crowd goes nuts. The next week she has a match with Becky. Charlotte runs in and beats the shit out of both of them. The following week I'm like, payback. Somebody's gonna get payback. They completely ignore everything that happened the previous week.
They're just like, Nikki Bella, you're not doing anything. Your sister's out.
Well, yeah, Brie.
Or so, Brie. I can't tell them apart.
Brie pinned Charlotte, which I clearly had no idea why that made any sense. Like, Charlotte needs to be kept strong as a champion. Not Brie Bella. Brie Bella sucks.
Brie is horrible.
And then you have Sasha come out, break it with Team Bad, which should have been done a long time ago.
Correct.
Meanwhile, I'm like, Naomi's actually getting really good on the mic. Like, just watching her, I'm like, damn, she's actually getting really good. But anyway, they break them up. In the middle of the match, it's like Becky and Sasha are like, is this like a tag program? Is it going to be like Becky and Sasha against Team Bad and then Charlotte? What the fuck are they doing?
Oh, I don't know. They got to do something with them to keep them around until after Fastlane, because everything points at Brie Bella versus Charlotte at Fastlane.
That's so stupid.
Because Total Divas' new season is starting, and they have to put one of the actual people on Total Divas in the ring, conflict of interest, and I don't know who the hell's writing this.
Yeah, it's all bad, but hopefully they'll figure
Sasha
it out.
Sasha will save all.
Yeah, it seems like WrestleMania, we're destined for either Sasha Charlotte or Sasha Becky Charlotte triple threat.
Before we touch on just the ending of Royal Rumble, Ambrose Owens
was great.
Amazing. 5-star?
No.
You don't hand out this shit. I can't believe you gave Kanye 5 mics.
What?
Because you're like the hardest grader in the world.
I am.
And no, you didn't even give him 5 mics. You gave him 4.5. You told the story before.
Yes, I did.
You are the worst.
But, dude, it's hard for me to give Classic anything. I thought that match was great. But, it, like, when I stack it up to against Kevin Steen, El Generico ladder match, no. That's, like
this it's a different platform.
It's not Nakamura, Tanahashi. It's not Nakamura, AJ.
Is it better than last year's Brock?
No.
Cena?
No.
Rollins?
No. No. Owens Ambrose was really good.
I think it might be better.
But Brock, Cena, Rollins in a triple threat match, which means you always have a moving part that's standing still, and you never felt that way during that match. And the booking of that
Brock
was excellent.
Was laying down outside for like 15 minutes.
Well, yeah, he got bodied through a table. But there was good storytelling in that match. Don't get me wrong, this was a great match, not a 5-star match. It was really good.
Damn, you were tough. All right, Triple H wins the Rumble.
It was like,
spoiler alert. Fuck.
But I mean, was
there belt
any,
on himself.
Was there any other outcome that would have made sense?
Your theory of him being like the most babyface heel ever is so right. It's like, yo, I watch him every Wednesday, and he's like the best guy in the world with NXT, and he's hugging people. It's like, yeah, the boss is here. He's the opposite of Vince McMahon in NXT.
Right.
He's like, yay, the boss is here. He's so nice. Triple
Hooray.
H. And then you watch him on Mondays and be like, yo, I hate this guy.
The problem is,
puts the belt on himself.
Then you look and you're like, well, I don't really like Reigns either. So it's like they are in very dangerous territory right now. Because watching the tag match from this week when they booed Reigns again after he got the hot tag because people like Ambrose more than Reigns.
Yeah.
This is like a dangerous spot because I can almost guarantee you, unless you find a way to make Triple H like kill his mother, the crowd's going to be all for Triple H in this match, especially if NXT the night before is on fire, which is going to be.
Oh, yeah, he's going to be suited
up. How is Triple H not going to be
NXT,
over?
He's a babyface.
Like, how is Triple H not going to be over in this match?
Unless I don't know, unless Roman goes heel. But we've been saying that for like a year.
There's nothing you can do. It's like they're at the point of almost no return.
No.
They can't like rebook this.
And then we have Fastlane where obviously Triple H isn't trying to wrestle all the damn time.
No, he's got that belt in the case. Like, yeah, he's treating like a trophy. It's like whatever. Belt.
So he's like, oh, you guys just go do something. And the Wyatts versus Lesnar feud that was built up is like, ah, that could wait for a second. Well, even though I'm sure Bray will attack Lesnar during that triple threat, and that'll be how the hell he gets out of there. They might carry him away from the ring, and it's like a one-on-one Ambrose versus Reigns.
Well, it seemed like this past week on Raw there was something up because Blackjack Mulligan was sick, so that's Bray and Bo's father, so that's why they weren't there. So it seemed like the booking was just all over the place because Chris Jericho was there for no reason on Raw.
He's there for no reason in life.
Yeah, well.
Like, he doesn't need to wrestle anymore.
Lesnar just kind of got thrown in because, like, what was he doing there? Like, the Ambrose promo was great, by the way. Like, Dean Ambrose, like, him getting in the ring and how he cut his promo with Lesnar, I was like, man, this guy's more of a champion than Roman Reigns is. Been saying this is day one. He's the best personality that they have, one of them. But, okay, there's the logic that makes no sense whatsoever. Triple H wins the Royal Rumble. The following night, to protect the champ, who is Triple H, they're like, we got something for you guys, a triple threat. Brock Lesnar, Dean Ambrose, Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
Now, look, didn't you just work so hard to get the belt off of Reigns, and you just throw him right back into a title picture? And then, to make matters worse, you put Brock Lesnar in there who nobody wants to wrestle. Like, that's not corporate stuff.
It's going to be so weird. I don't know which way they go. Like, Ambrose, is he defending the IC title at Fast? Like,
I don't know. I don't know what he's doing with it. I guess
now, what's Owens doing? Like, is it going to be Owens versus Styles? That's like, do
that
you
seems
have a
like
one-off?
A main, I don't know what's going on. Like I said, I don't know what's going on. Owens just lost to Dolph Ziggler on Raw.
Yo, this was a weird Raw, though. Like, just chalk it up.
Yeah, it just did. Like, a lot of things in terms of storytelling didn't make sense. It just, like, they were doing things. They were like, all right, let's just do some stuff and see what happens. So, after, like, Triple H having the title, predictable. Figured that was going to happen. Everything else, it's like a crapshoot because now they're going into Fastlane knowing that if Reigns wins this match, which he should, which is the way that everything.
Yeah,
like,
obviously.
There's no other way the story could go. They've been working on this Triple H-Roman Reigns thing forever. If Roman Reigns wins, he's going to get booed out of the building. Now, who does he pin? He's not going to pin Lesnar.
No.
The Wyatts are going to have to run into some point if this is the program you're going to do, which I'm not even 100% convinced that you still want to stick to this program anymore. Like, Lesnar versus the Wyatts is still, like, you're looking at it like, eh.
I mean, that's what they're built. Like, coming out of the Rumble, you knew there were certain storylines being built. Now, it's way foggier with this Fastlane stuff because none of it makes sense. It doesn't fit the puzzle. Like, Fastlane doesn't fit the puzzle in any matchup.
No, it makes
because you
except for Kalisto and Del Rio, who
but that's the third time. So you're killing off a rivalry, and then got to build a new United States champion and rivalry in 3 weeks leading up to Mania, and then you have to start an IC rivalry because it's just non-existent because you have your IC champion in a number one's contenders match. So you got to go with that and start a new rivalry going into Mania and ignore that Roman Reigns is going to pin him. And that the brotherhood is breaking up. So you got to ignore that really dope angle and what could be. He shouldn't pin him until you were ready to make, you know, the Shield three-way rivalry. But they're going to waste that. And then Ambrose is going to be like, oh, bro, it's okay. You did what you had to do. Now let me go start a rival with this guy. Start it for 3 weeks heading into Mania. Same thing with the women's title. You're going to have Charlotte, win again by roll-up because of her father. And Sasha come out and beat the hell out of her again.
It doesn't make sense.
None of it makes, like, Fastlane is just being thrown together and it's horrible and they're just going against everything they work to build up. It's like as soon as they catch on to something that kind of works, they're just like, ah, let's just fuck it up real quick.
Yeah, because, I mean, Dean Ambrose, if he loses, it seemed like they were going in the direction of an Ambrose-Jericho feud at one point.
It did, but then now it looks like Jericho-Styles.
Well, it seems like Jericho and Styles may wrestle at Fastlane. Styles isn't booked for a match yet. Kevin Owens looked like he was going to be feuding with Styles, but now he just lost to Dolph Ziggler, and it seems aimless now. Like, none of this makes any sense.
None of it. I mean, do they save it with Sami Zayn?
Doubtful. He's going to be involved in...
Well, we'll talk about that. Well, hell, now. The early indications of the NXT card came out for WrestleMania weekend. I am going to drop mad dough on that ticket because I got to be in attendance.
Nakamura's making his debut.
Nakamura's debut against Sami Zayn, from all indications. We have a title match, Samoa Joe versus Finn Balor. The type of match isn't revealed, but it should be a specialty match is what people are saying. to round out that feud. We have Corbin taking on, I think, the Drifter Kid.
That's a stupid match.
I mean, I don't know. The Drifter is there doing something. The
crowd does not like him.
No. Cruz is still up in limbo, but we Tommy's still hanging around. We'll
Bailey
see.
And Asuka.
Oh, Bailey and Asuka. It's going to be basically phenomenal.
Bailey's send-off to the main roster.
Has to be.
Because
Bailey has to go challenge Sasha, like, yeah. ASAP.
Yeah. Like, Asuka's just, she's on fire. She's, like, destroying everybody. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she needs to be the women's champ.
Bullet Club probably debuts.
Right. They still have dates booked in February. They're actually booked in the New Japan show this weekend?
Yeah. 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 AJ has a date booked still this weekend.
Where?
Yeah, an indie date. I forgot where it was. He's doing his last indie show this weekend. Nakamura showed up for 2 weeks in NXT to do some promo work and work in the ring. Then he has to go back because he has like two autograph signing dates or something in Japan. Mm. So he's gone until
he's
the week
before.
He's
not coming to Vegas, unfortunately. We get Kenny Omega, though, which is cool.
We do get Kenny Omega.
Yeah.
Which would be dope. And Okada. So it's going to be a good show.
And yeah, the ROH 14th anniversary show will be good. We'll talk about that more later.
Yeah, so NXT is shaping up. That might be better in WrestleMania, man.
I know, and I'm at the point, like, I've already dropped coin on my Mania tickets. Like, I'm damn near on the floor. Well, I am on the floor this year. And I'm, like, regretting it because I'm like, I don't have NXT tickets. I tried to get them, and they were sold out on the pre-sale and the regular sale. So now I'm looking at StubHub like, you about to take all my goddamn money.
Yeah, yo. Just got to do it. 500. Just take it out. Don't let me see it.
Yeah, I don't want to see it disappear from my bank account.
Just tell my girl, like, yo, just swipe the card. Don't let
me know. How can you miss this show?
Can't.
Like, how is this show not? Why don't they just
I'm paying
put this
more
show
for this than my WrestleMania tickets?
Why don't they just put this show at Dallas, at Cowboy Stadium? Like,
it sell out. Like, it sell just as good as Mania. I'm no joke.
Jesus, the NXT show just looks amazing. NXT has actually been great. The triple threat match that was last week, we get to see. By the time you all listen to it, it all culminate in whatever happens tonight.
Should have a Nakamura the first promo when everyone just lost their shit.
Yeah, well, him, like, I figured he had to go to NXT, just kind of learn the ropes, pun intended. But NXT's figured it out. WWE's just kind of like, they're hanging on this Roman Reigns thing is so tough. For the second year in a row, the fans are not, like, this is supposed to be Roman Reigns' big moment, because now it's like, Triple H is the perfect heel to beat, and it looked right when Roman first destroyed him.
Yeah.
But now as time progresses, you're like,
nah, we still don't believe you.
Yeah, no. No, Triple H can keep the belt. Like, I'm almost feeling like Triple H should win this match.
Word.
Roman winning this match, he's going to get booed out of the building. We have nobody cashing in the Money in the Bank to save us this year. There is no Seth Rollins making the save.
Nope. There just has to be interference. Like,
unless
someone has to come in and kill Roman after he wins.
Unless the only thing that could possibly happen, which won't, is that Brock Lesnar wins the title. Or wins the title shot, and he gets Triple H.
That'd be interesting.
And actually, in some ways, I would like to see that more than Roman Reigns being involved in the match.
That'd be interesting. I mean, it throw a wrench in everything, but now, that'd be interesting.
Today is February 3rd.
Yeah.
Undertaker still doesn't have a match. And he hasn't even been mentioned.
Is John Cena coming back? Yesterday. Cena looks great, by the way. Posting shit.
Like, Wolverine is coming. Dude,
he looks amazing.
They're not. I don't think they're saying anything because they think that John Cena may be able to make this match. That's what's
And just leave
sense.
It. There's no need to declare yet, I guess.
Just wait. So WrestleMania is going to sell, but it's going to sell.
Yeah.
Nothing you could do about WrestleMania's shorthand of having God wrestle a match is going to sell more tickets.
No.
So it's already going to sell.
You already sold all the tickets.
Yeah, you've already done what you had to do.
I tried to get tickets. Like, they were gone. It's fine. Damn, it's all secondhand. WWE got to prove shit. If they sell their tickets, you already got your money. Who cares? That's all secondary market. Cena could be a possibility. I mean, hearing Strowman is like a real, real-ass possibility.
Strowman's horrible, by the way.
Also, I haven't seen him wrestle a solo match. I don't even know.
Just watching the move is horrible.
How do you go into a match with Taker at Mania and you've never had a solo match?
Because it's not happening. Real quick, did you watch Eric Rowan throw a kick at Big Show that completely
missed him? Yeah. And then he lost to Big Show?
I don't get – again, the booking makes no sense.
Rowan's just lost, though.
He is the sacrificial lamb with the Wyatt family. He is. They just bring him in there to get beat up. Another thing I don't understand – like, this has turned to a bunch of stuff we don't understand about WWE. Why aren't Luke and Eric Rowan going for the tag team titles? Like, why aren't they doing anything? Because I'm
Luke
so
Harper
sick of
is dope.
And I'm sick of seeing the Usos and the New Day. Like, just can we switch this thing up?
That'd be great. They're still stuck in everyone needs to help Bray mode. Bray can carry stuff by himself.
Yeah,
like, it's time to not break them up, but just send them different ways.
Can we have a moment of silence real quick? For the Tyler Breeze's end of his career already.
Oh, God.
Yo, They brought him
gorgeous.
They brought him in, made this big deal on Breaking Ground too about it. He's made it to the main roster, and then like all he does is lose every week.
Yo, him and Ziggler had that quick one off, and then
they're like, oh, New Year's resolution, broke him off with Summer Rae, so now Summer Rae has nothing to do either. And then who did he lose to this week? Was it Titus O'Neil this week?
Oh, I think so.
It's horrible.
Clash of the Titus.
Like Titus O'Neil and Darren Young needed. What happened to the primetime players? Why aren't they the tag team anymore?
They do dark shows.
Why?
I don't know.
None of this makes any sense.
It doesn't make sense. Like, they don't need more tag teams. I don't know. Vince once again saw too many black people, and he was like, no. The only black person I want in a tag team besides New Day is R-Truth and Goldust.
Actually, I'm intrigued with the Golden Truth, right? Listen, for all the wrong reasons, I'm intrigued with this. Like, I know it's childish, but the whole promo that they cut with Goldust's foot in the toilet. No, Goldust's foot in the toilet. Okay. And the way he, like, and the racial and the gay stuff. Like, it's childishly funny to me. And I don't mind it because neither of them have anything better to do.
Oh, my God.
They're doing better with them than they are Stardust. I don't know what Stardust is doing.
I think he's going back to Cody Rhodes. He hinted towards it. Who knows? Before we get out of here, we do have to do our pound-for-pound list, and we have to set it up by saying WWE Diva Sunny. I forgot her real name. I should have put it down here.
Tammy Sitch.
And has made a porn tape with Vivid. As soon as the news broke and I got my hands on a link, I had to send it to you. I was like, yo, we got to do research for the show. You have to watch this.
That whack-ass clip.
It was not a great clip. I felt like I was watching Stifler's mom. Like, it was straight American Pie. Like, that's not the Sonny I remember. If you guys watch the Sonny sex tape after here, go and tell me that does not look like Stifler's mom getting it on. It was horrible. It's like a guy with Batista tattoos. It was bad all the way around.
Yeah. No, thank you.
No. It was just not working for me.
Like, this isn't Sonny, like, from almost 20 years ago. This is Sonny today.
Oh, Sonny looks like somebody's grandma. Please. And she was rocking her Hall of Fame ring in the porno. That's just dirty.
I heard she was selling on eBay at one point.
Yeah, she took it off. They paid her for the porn. She doesn't got to sell it on eBay now.
Oh, congratulations.
Anyway. WWE ring. Forever unclean.
Yeah, forever unclean.
Oh, all bad. So our pound for pound list, though, is the five ex-WWE divas, can't put in current, shout out Sasha Banks, that we would love to see make a porno. Vivid make this shit happen, by the way. It's pretty easy for me. I mean, just picking five. Lita. Trish Stratus.
Lita would botch the porno.
Trish Stratus has to be number one. Stacy Keibler. Then we have... I thought it was pretty easy. That's only 30.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be easy for you to pick this. I have one name.
What?
And Layla. That's it. Nobody else.
What?
There was Joy Giovanni at one point. I wouldn't mind seeing her.
I feel like I'm missing someone.
Candice Michelle.
Oh, AJ Lee.
AJ Lee looks like fetish porn, like dominatrix. Like, she looks like weird fetish. Not that I wouldn't watch it. I'm just saying, like, fetish porn. That's what she looks like. But, yeah, Layla is...
She's a spinner. There's nothing wrong with
Layla. And what was her name? Bobby Lashley's wife.
Bobby Lashley has a wife?
Crystal.
Oh,
you have to go back to 2005. Crystal. Yeah.
I had to take account who looks good now still.
Crystal still looks good. Layla looks good too. So
Lesnar's wife, Sable.
Sable? No thanks.
Sable's over the hill. But Sable was dope back in the day.
Yeah, of course.
I just don't want to see her now.
Yeah, no.
Trish Stratus, though. If they could, like, lock one up. Trish, like, you got time.
Yeah, Lita, I'm just saying Lita would botch the porno. She'd try to moonsault and just botch everything.
Nah, Lita would be all right. There was those chicks who were like twins before the Bellas. They weren't really twins. They were just like sisters, and they shared the belt.
Talking about Lay Cool. That was Lay Layla? Cool.
Yeah.
And that's Miz's wife.
Oh, Miz's wife.
Yeah.
Okay. I meant the other chick. Yeah. Nah, Layla and her. But it has to be like a triumvirate type thing. Like, they are one. So it has to be like a Lay Cool porno. So take Layla out of our list and Lay Cool. And they'd have to.
Lay Cool. That could be like the name of the porno.
now we got the wheels moving. So Vivid, Break the Bank. Let's just have a whole series of WWE ex diva pornos.
Yeah, just don't bring like Luna Vachon. Like, yeah. Scary Sherry, if she was still alive. Actually, Scary Sherry would have made a great porno. Like, she would have been phenomenal. She would have been yelling, and it would have been annoying, and I would have watched it.
All bad.
Yeah.
All bad. I don't want to see Vicky Guerrero in a porn either.
Oh, no. Excuse me. Wrong hole. Like, yeah, I don't want to see that. No way.
The list could have been five people we don't want to see a porn. There's some, like, really bad choices.
Mae Young?
Mae Young would do a porn, though.
I am disgusted with myself about the let's get the show.
Gilf porn? Like, Mae Young would be so down.
Oh, my God.
Okay, Trish Stratus, AJ Lee. That would be one hell of a porn. Vivid needs to get on it. That was our pound for pound list. We got to get out of here because we're losing our damn minds.
Yes.
Andreas is back. It was nice to do the show.
Yep.
I'm trying to talk him into doing a special episode for Valentine's Day. And no, I'm not going to ask him to be my Valentine. But we're trying to set something up for next week to make it a dope show. So stay with us for that. Hit us up on all social media at The Corner LSN. You know, whatever you can find us on. Instagram, Twitter. I probably should get a Snapchat here soon. We'll figure it out. My Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, everything is at Kel Dansby.
I'm at Andreas Hill. I do not Snapchat, but I don't have time for that shit.
Just an old grumpy ass man.
I am, man. I got too many things to do.
Nothing these kids do.
No.
Old man. Make sure you guys tune into us. Next week, we'll be back with another show recapping this weekend's UFC, talking wrestling, and previewing some boxing that is coming up. Till then, we're out.
Peace. I wish I could keep this feeling. I wish I could keep this feeling.